Hello, I'm Eleanor. This testimony is basically like a story of how I came to be a Christian and the reasons behind it and how it happened, and it's not as simple as people seem to think. My testimony is not very dramatic. I haven't had any near-death experiences or anything like that, so it's not very dramatic. A bit of history. My parents became Christians when I was around 5 to 6 years old. And from there, I've been brought up in a Christian home, and I've known about God and Jesus for most of my life. But I never really understood the reasons behind becoming a Christian. I didn't really know what it meant. It was just something we did on a Sunday. I went to my old church, which was Grace Chapel in Folkestone. We went there every Sunday, and I went to Sunday school, and I used to love it. We used to have Sunday school in the afternoon there because there weren't any children ministries in the morning. And I loved it there. I loved learning about God. I loved being with my friends. But I didn't really get it, you know. Now, when I was little, I was a bit of a goody-two-shoes, a bit of a teacher's pet. And I always liked getting things right. So I would always make sure I got the sticker. I would always make sure that I would get all the questions right. I'd put my finger on my lips and put my hand up and make sure that I was that kid at the front that no one liked. I memorised all the memory verses, and I would make sure I finished all the worksheets, and I used to always ask my Sunday school teacher, have I been good today? Have I been good today? And the answer was, yes, I know, you've been good today, for goodness sake, you've been good. But I seemed to think that by being good, that could get me to heaven, that by being the best I could be, by getting all the stickers, by winning all the prizes, that would get me to heaven, that I could be good enough for Christ, and that's not the case. Soon I grew out of the creche at my old school because, unlike here, we didn't have youth ministries. We had the creche, which would be from like babies to about 6 years old. Then you go into the main service. So soon I grew out of the creche and had to go into the service with mum and dad. At first I felt really important. I was like, yeah, I'm with the adults. This is great. But after a few weeks, I didn't understand what the preacher was going on about. It just went completely over my head. And sadly, my favourite day of the week became my worst day of the week because I didn't know what was going on. I would often doze on my mum's shoulder and think about lunch during the prayers because I just didn't understand it. So yeah, for a couple of years this went on, and so we moved church and we came here to Grace Fellowship. And at that time we were in the school hall of the Tower School in Ashford. My old church was lovely, it's still a wonderful church, but my mum and dad felt they needed something more spiritually, so we moved here. We moved here with Jean McDonald, who was a lovely Christian woman who sadly died 2 years ago. But we came with her, and as a child coming to Grace Fellowship, it was like coming home. Everyone was really friendly, and everyone seemed really passionate for Christ. And nearly everyone had a smile on their face, which was lovely. Also, there were lots of children, which pleased me, because I had friends to play with. I'd gone from a church of about 8 children to about a church of about 20. And, that was lovely. I didn't have to stay in the service anymore, which pleased me, because here at Grace Fellowship we have studies tailored for children. So I went into Ignite, which is the middle age class for children. And to have a lesson with other children my age and to not be drowned out was the most refreshing thing in the world. I immediately made lots of friends, and after about 3 weeks I began to look forward to Sundays again. The years went on and I grew out of Ignite, and I joined the Eldest Children's Ministry, YDOG, which stands for Young Disciples of God, and it's led by Paul. In YDOG, I was treated a lot more like an adult, and the lessons were a lot more in-depth. We talked about heaven and hell, and why Christ died and rose again, and how we should be living. And soon, I discovered that my head knowledge and my getting everything right wasn't going to be enough, that being Miss Clever wasn't going to save me from hell, and that terrified me. The thought and the reality of hell and what would happen if I didn't confess my sins just scared the pants off me. And I didn't know what to do. I was scared, I was confused, and I just needed some clarity. I still wasn't quite ready to give up my sin, though. As much as I wanted to, my flesh and my human nature was just, cling on to it, it's fun. But I didn't want to give it up. I didn't want to stop lying to get what I wanted. I didn't want to have to obey my parents. And I didn't want to give it up. I had non-Christian friends at my school, and we had a Muslim girl there, and she was the odd one out. She was like the outcast. And I didn't want to tell everyone I was a Christian, and be the odd one out too, because I wanted to fit in somewhere. So I put off confessing my sins for a while. So for a while, I made every effort to appear as godly as I could, when in my heart I was still living in sin. There were times when I was sorry, and I did pray, and I did read my Bible, but I still wasn't saved, and I still didn't have that new personality, and I still didn't feel as though, you know, I was free from sin. I carried on maintaining this apparent Christianity up until I was about 12 and a half. In Wydog, Paul had led a discussion on salvation, which is the process of becoming a Christian. And I remember he read this verse from Romans 5, verse 8, which says, "But God demonstrates his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." And that was a real reality slap for me, because guess what? I was a sinner, and I still am. But I just kept thinking, even though I didn't deserve it, and even though I didn't believe in him, and I was selfish and weak and hypocritical, he still died for me. He was still willing to be nailed to a cross and to be disowned by his Father and to rise again just so that I could be free from sin and hell. And, well, that hit me hard. I couldn't believe it, that someone could be that selfless just for me, because it was just me. And that sort of hung on my mind and bugged me for quite a few months. I was always in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, well, look what Christ did for me. Why don't I confess? But the truth was, I still had that sin in me, and I still wanted to do what I was doing, even though it was wrong. I knew what I had to do, but it was the matter of actually getting down and doing it. I put it off for a really long time. I would pray at night, but I usually fall asleep halfway through, or I simply wouldn't have time to pray. I would be too busy with my sinful ways and too busy with my life, and so I didn't have time for God. I didn't have time to, you know, think about my sins and everything. And so I just thought, oh, I'll put it off. One day, when I'm older. But there's a verse in the Bible, I can't remember where it's from, but it says, "Go into your room, close the door, and be alone with God." But my excuse was, hey, I share a room, I don't have to do that one. But I was a bit deluded, because of course I still had to do that one. For ages I put it off, until one evening I was watching telly, and it was like a war action film. And these guys were killing these guys. And right at the end, the general of one army, his daughter saw someone, the enemy, going to shoot him. And she jumped in front of him and took the bullet. And the look of pain and the tears on the actor's face as he watched his daughters die for him almost made me cry watching it. And completely out of the blue and from nowhere, it made me think what Christ did for me. It was like, you know, how Christ took on my sins, my punishment, just as the daughter took the bullet for her dad. So after the film was finished, I kept thinking about it, and I went up into my room, and I think Jessica was asleep. And I went to my room, and I started to read the book of Matthew, and the account of Jesus' trial and crucifixion. For some reason, I just began to cry, floods and floods of tears, and I had no idea why I was crying. I was like, pull yourself together, why are you crying? But I just did, and suddenly I felt really contaminated. I felt really, really awful inside me, like filthy. Something inside my heart was squirming. All I wanted to do was just rip it out, and I didn't know how to do it. I didn't know how to rip it out. I wanted it gone. And it sounds silly, but the world seemed to be pressing down on me, and I literally couldn't stand. It was like I was being pushed into the ground. One minute I was on my knees, the next I was half lying on the floor. I knew what I had to do, and somehow this time it was easier. I clapped my hands together really tightly, and I prayed and prayed and prayed, and I was saying, God, forgive me for what I've done. I'm sorry, I'm really sorry. And I meant it so much that I was actually speaking at normal volume. I wasn't saying it in my head anymore. I was actually speaking it to the night. And I really was sorry. It wasn't just like the childlike escape of just, you know, oh, I'm sorry, but I'll do it again. I was utterly repentant, and I felt like the worst person in the world. And I just didn't understand, you know, how could someone go through that for me, like the worst person ever? And I wanted to be made new. I'd heard about being made new, about being born again. And I just wanted that so much. I just wanted to be made new. I wanted to have that joy that I'd seen in my parents, that I'd seen in my grandparents and my friends. I wanted that, and I wanted to be part of that. And I really, really wanted to go to heaven. I did not want to go to hell. So I was terrified of dying, and I was terrified of going to hell, and I was terrified of anyone discovering my sin and, you know, how I looked so good, but I wasn't actually inside. So I just kept praying and saying, please, please, God, forgive me. I don't want to be scared anymore. I don't want to have that fear anymore. And I don't know how long I was there. I don't have a date on which I was saved. I just know it was one night. And I don't know how long I was lying there, but suddenly I stopped crying. And I felt this relief. You know when you're really, really cold and then you get like a warm towel put around you, you're like, oh yes, this is lovely. It was like that. It was a complete relief. And I stopped shaking, I stopped crying, and I felt really, really calm. It was the calmest I've ever felt in my life. It was just like it was literally like I've been saved from a fire or some peril. It was lovely. But I still didn't quite understand why I was calm, just like I didn't know why I'd been crying. But I went and lied on my bed, and I thought things over, and I read a bit more, and I thought things over. And then suddenly I just said to myself, I'm saved. I'm saved, I'm saved, I'm saved. And I kept repeating it to myself, trying to drum it into me to try and make it more real, because it just seemed like, how can I be saved? It's me. But I just kept saying it to myself, and I felt really, really happy. I was so relieved that I didn't have to go to hell. I wasn't scared anymore. And that was lovely. Immediately, I wanted to tell someone. I wanted to tell the world. I wanted people to know that I wasn't going to go to hell anymore. So I went downstairs, and my parents were watching a film, and I went downstairs and I told my parents. They paused the film and I told them, I think I've been saved. And of course, they were delighted, but they seemed a bit wary, you know, whether my salvation was genuine because I was so young. They told me that I should keep praying, and that if my salvation was genuine, then in time signs of that would show, that the fruits of the Spirit would show, and then we would know whether it was a real conversion or not. So I went back upstairs, and I just went to sleep, and it was lovely. But I wasn't out of the woods yet. The next day at school, I think I was year eight. Next day at school was the worst day I can ever remember in my life. It was the worst day ever. I felt absolutely terrible. I felt like everything I'd just done, that relief I just felt, I felt like that, like I felt before that. So I felt contaminated and horrible again. And I had no idea why. I was like, why? Last night I felt amazing. Why don't I feel right now? And I was unhappy for simply no reason at all. And I didn't know why. I felt as if I couldn't possibly be a Christian, that I'd lied to my parents, that there was no way that I could go to heaven. And every minute I had doubts, and I just wanted to hide away from the world. I wanted to sit in a dark room and cry, because I thought, have I lied? Have I pretended? Is it real? Is it not real? I didn't know. Now, I believe that that was the devil trying to dissuade me from my faith, trying to put a seed of doubt in to stop me from growing. But then I didn't know. I remember I was lining up for class, and I gave Sophie a big hug, and she was like, what's the matter? What's up? And I was like, I don't know. I don't know what's the matter. She was like, there must be something the matter. I'm like, I don't know. I just feel like rubbish. I don't know what I should do. And so I worked on my gaining my assurance for a long time. It took me a very long time to become certain that what happened that night was real and that I wasn't going to go to hell anymore. I read Christian books on assurance. I read the Bible. I looked out for the signs. In my heart, I was sure, because you are, once you're saved, you know. But my head was still confused and my emotions were still confused. And I personally couldn't see a change in myself, you know. I made my bed before, I make my bed now. It wasn't, you know, I hadn't been drastically evil. I wasn't a murderer before, and I hadn't completely, utterly changed. I felt the same, but just with that relief. But the thing was, other people could see it in me, which was the nice thing, because even though I couldn't see it, others told me they could see it. And I'm going to name and shame now. I remember having coffee with Becca Taylor in Starbucks, and I was saying to her how I wasn't sure about my salvation and, you know, how I didn't know and I couldn't see that change in me. And she helped me to identify the changes, like little by little, even if they were small changes, it was still a change. And that I worked on that for a long time until I became certain. That certainty was tested when I first took communion. That was a really big step for me spiritually. I knew about communion, and I knew that you could only take communion if you were a true, genuine believer of Christ. And that if you did it and you weren't a Christian, that you drank judgment on yourself. And I thought, well, I don't want to drink judgment on myself. So I put that off as well. I put a lot of things off. But I put that off as well, thinking, you know, am I not? But then when I was certain, I took it for the first time, and I just felt that relief, and finally I knew. And it was like I've been searching and searching, and finally I found it, and I knew I was saved. That was it. There's no going back. And that was lovely. It was such a relief, and that's just the main emotion, really, a relief and a joy, because I knew that now I'm not going to go to hell. Now I don't have to worry about sinning, because I will sin less because I don't want to sin anymore. I see life in a new perspective. I don't join in with the things I used to join in with. And now I'm sure I'm a whole different person, and it is literally like being born again. My whole outlook on life has changed. My morals, my interests have changed. And I think I'm a more humbled person than I used to be. I used to be very proud, and I always wanted to be the best. But admitting defeat when I was lying on that floor and admitting that I needed help really humbled me. Still a sinner. I will always be a sinner, because all humans are. We are born into sin. But the difference is now I'm forgiven of it. I'm not responsible for it anymore. I still do say and think things I shouldn't. I can still be horrible to people. I can still be proud. But you know, I don't pray and read my Bible every day, and I'm not enthusiastic every day because everyone has an off day. But I know now that I always have him to lean on. And especially with my exams coming up, you know, I don't have to worry as much as the other children do, because I have Christ to lean on. I know that just give everything to him. There's a verse that says, have no anxiety about anything, but through prayer and supplication make your requests or something known to the Lord. And that has really helped me in gaining my assurance and to becoming certain, because I don't have to do anything alone anymore. Even when I appear alone, I'm not alone. It's so real now to me. And in my favourite hymn that I think we're going to sing afterwards, it says, no power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand, for I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. And that's me now. I can sing it with feeling. I can sing it knowing it's me. I don't just sing it saying, yeah, that's my parents, my grandparents. I can sing it by saying, it's me now. And I can really worship. And I'm not afraid of hell anymore. I'm not scared of death. I don't want to die. No human does. But my soul rejoices in the fact that if I were to die, that I would be with God. If the Lord came tomorrow, I would be ready. I would be ready to be raised with him. Sometimes I still have doubts. I have to admit it. I'm not 100% enthusiastic all the time. But I have someone that I can lean on. I have Christ now. And you know, I know that I am different from the world. I know that it's not going to be an easy path. It's not going to be a walk in the park. You know, just because I'm saved doesn't mean that life is going to be easy peasy. But I know that even though it's hard, I have someone to walk it with. I'm not alone like I was before. So I'm privileged to be called God's daughter, to be called God's child, and I'm privileged to be called all your sister, to be part of something that is truly amazing. And that I can be joined with everyone here in Christ. Because I know that here I have a family, and that I have a father that can never be taken away, and a promise that can never be taken away. Thank you.